Our first scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. It is headed, "We are God's co-workers." For when one says, "I belong to Paul," and another, "I belong to Apollos," are you not all too human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through him, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand as you're comfortable for the gospel readings. Our first gospel reading is Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, titled "The Parable of the Barren Fig Tree." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the man working the vineyard, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Our next gospel reading is from Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Do you want to live a joyful, meaningful, and productive life? I am sure you do. Yes, everyone does. Then I would like to recommend you read a good book. I believe that one of the best handbooks ever published for living a joyful and productive life is First Things First, written by Stephen Covey, who was an internationally well-known guru of leadership, business management, and life planning. According to this 1994 book, the purpose of a human life can be summed up in 4 essential points, all of them beginning with the letter L: to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. As you know, all human beings have 4 basic, essential, and fundamental needs. These needs are physical need, social need, mental need, and spiritual need. So if these basic needs are not met, even if we miss just one of these 4 needs, we feel empty, anxious, and incomplete. So in the book, First Things First, the essence of these needs is captured by Stephen Covey, the author, in the phrase, "to live, to love, to learn, to leave a legacy. The need to live is our physical need for such things as food, clothing, shelter, economic well-being, and health. The need to love is our social need to relate to other people, to belong, to love, and to be loved. The need to learn is our mental need to develop and to grow. And the need to leave a legacy is our spiritual need to have a sense of meaning, purpose, harmonious alignment of authenticity, integrity, and contribution. In our church setting, I believe this leave a legacy that meets our spiritual need is directly and indirectly connected to our bearing fruit mandate that we are striving to accomplish. Maybe leave a legacy can include our church heritage, history, endowment, designated fund, properties, and many other outer and external legacies for sustainability. Moreover, leaving a legacy does not always mean after your death. Rather, leaving a legacy here and now while you are still alive and well by bearing fruit would be more crucial and meaningful. While all these historical and financial contributions and legacies are still important and cherished, yes, my emphasis in terms of bearing fruit is beyond all these memories and assets. My emphasis is on continuing tangible and meaningful spiritual growth towards God's abundant harvest, not only that continue to flourish, but also that will last forever. That's why I've been sharing with you my sermon series, Bearing Fruit. So, welcome back to my sermon series, Bearing Fruit. Two Sundays ago, on May 3rd, I shared with you my second sermon entitled Invited to Labor for God's Harvest, Part 1 of 2. At that time, my first point was, I'm sure you remember this, true fruitfulness is measured by what our ministry produces, not just by how busy we are. I'm sure you all remember this point. Then last Sunday was Mother's Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. So we skipped the sermon series. Instead, I shared with you my special Mother's Day sermon entitled Insights from Jesus' Mom. Yes, it was about important lessons from Jesus' mother, Mary, on Mother's Day. If you have missed it, you could still watch the Mother's Day worship video on Facebook or our church's website that is linked to YouTube files. Now, this morning, my sermon series continues. It's part 2 of 2 of Invited to Labor for God's Harvest. So my second and final point is, a fruitful church turns its focus outward to the people it is called to serve rather than inward on satisfying its existing members. Of course, it is extremely important for us to care for our own members and their families primarily. Yes, we pray for one another, care for one another, and we love one another. Apostle Paul urges us in Colossians, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good and of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Of course, his point for us here is not to grow weary in doing what is right, but ministering to the family of faith, both our own congregation and other believers, is so crucial and so essential. First, before helping and serving people outside of the church. However, while providing internal support to our own congregation, our ministry focus should be on bearing fruit by reaching out to the community. In this sense, the church should not be a mere self-serving group or organization. If everyone satisfied with status quo and is not reaching out to any new people, the church would stop growing and in worst case could cease to exist if no one invited anyone to the church. My friends in Christ, after all, the church is nothing but in a disciple-making business. Some people define the church as a soul-saving or soul-healing business in terms of salvation, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Of course, yes, indeed. But we are not a mere social fellowship group. We are not an exclusive organization that restricts who can come here or who are not welcome here. No, never. We are not a simple charity cohort that hands out emergency food or any other necessities to those in need, even though sometimes we do activate our hunger relief ministry or program for the community. But our main mission and purpose is to become a disciple-making and fruit-bearing community for the transformation of the world. Jesus' very last command is called the Great Commission, written in Matthew. Let us read this passage together. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Just as this Great Commission indicates, we are mandated by Jesus that we ought to go make disciples, baptizing them and teach them. Of course, God ultimately gives us growth and harvest. We are not able to create any outcomes like fruit only by ourselves, our endeavors, or our own human efforts. Nevertheless, we are called to do our best by faithfully obeying all these action words of go, make, baptize, and teach, trusting that God will bring us good harvest. In this sense, in pursuing our fruitful ministry, we are challenged not only to shift from activity-based measurement to outcome-based result, but also to prioritize external mission over internal maintenance. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we must neglect or ignore the need of internal maintenance. We should never stop growing by dwelling in Christ or caring for the congregation or providing all the pastoral cares, encouragement, and support. We are a community of faith, love, and care, of course. Better yet, we are encouraged to focus our energy on making new disciples and helping people outside of faith, shifting resources away from sustaining comfortable internal and self-serving services. Apostle Paul proclaims in the first letter to the Corinthians, when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not all too human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and each will receive wages according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Yes, we are God's laborers, together working hard and diligently in God's vineyard while pursuing and anticipating God's abundant harvest. In the book Bearing Fruit, the authors state, quote, while we never forget that God gives the growth, we also know that like the fruit grower, we are accountable. It's underlined. For planting and watering, we are called to bear fruit and hence are accountable, again, for the fruit of ministry, unquote. Yes, accountability is the key word here for us to keep in mind as we are striving to bear fruit for good harvest. This accountability is required not only from the church leaders, but also from the whole congregation as faithful, reliable, and committed partners of missions and ministries together. This church, the first UMC of Riverside, is blessed with faithful and committed leaders and members of this congregation throughout the past over 150 years. Yes, we celebrate the milestone of 150 years in 2022, and next year, 2027, will be the 155th church anniversary. This is truly an amazing history and heritage. Because of all your love, faith, and hope, this church will continue to be faithful to God and to one another by loving everyone in this congregation and in this greater Riverside and Inland Empire communities. So thank you all for who you are as part of this congregation today. From my deepest heart as your pastor, I know many people come and go. They attend the church and join the church. However, for some reason, many times for unknown or undisclosed reasons, some people stop coming and becoming disconnected. Even some people were once very active and excited, involved in many different ministries and services. Unfortunately, they either burned out or lost interest, or whatever reasons it might be, they suddenly or gradually disappeared. Even though I, the pastor, and the church family members tried to connect them whenever possible, They never answered, never responded, and never came back. In our United Methodist Church tradition and discipline, if you become inactive, such as no attendance, no contact, no communication, no support, or no indication of any connection whatsoever with the church for 3 years, your name is to be removed at the church conference or church conference. Yes, 3 years. You know, I might be wrong, but I suppose this number, 3 years, comes from as one of the biblical examples. This morning's parable of the barren fig tree, the owner of the vineyard tells his worker in verse 7, "For 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" Of course, the owner from the parable symbolizes God. So this parable of the barren fig tree teaches that God is patient, giving us time to repent and bear spiritual fruit. But this patience has limit, and judgment is real. And it highlights that God expects tangible evidence of faith, provides grace through nurturing, and warns against the wasted opportunity of a fruitless life. One of the tangible outcomes from our bearing fruit efforts might be the church growth with its increasing membership. I know keeping a high number of memberships might be impressive, sounds attractive, and makes everyone feel great. But if this membership has too many, even so many inactive members, many of them are absent and have had no connection for over 3 years, we are wasting our time, energy, and resources. Yes, of course, we will always do our best in caring for those inactive and homebound members. God's grace is always working and available here. Of course, we will always welcome back these lost sheep and prodigal sons and daughters to our home. Even though some have been removed from the membership already due to their inactivity and lost connection, if and whenever they return to the church, their membership would be reinstated right away. Nevertheless, just as the lesson of the parable, we have limitations and need to shift our focus on new people if we want to grow and thrive. If anyone shows no interest for over 3 years, this simply means that he or she either has no interest in keeping faith or has joined another church for various reasons. A church is a gathering and fellowship of God's people with free will, freedom, desire, joy, and commitment, never with pressure, force, or coercion. If members do not have this kind of freedom, they must have joined the wrong or fake church, like some kind of a cult or a pseudo-religion. You are here because you love God and you love people through this congregation with your own will and your own decision, right? That's why many church growth experts advise churches, especially struggling and declining churches, that we must continue to focus on reaching out people and making new disciples of Christ rather than just missing the old glorious days of the past. We are Methodist Christians, and we know the founder of a Methodism, John Wesley. John Wesley's three most important questions for spiritual leaders were, have they faith? Have they gifts? And have they fruit? Yes, bearing fruit in ministry was one of the crucial key concepts for John Wesley. And his intention was not just to train spiritual leaders, but also to empower and equip the lay leadership ministry for the whole congregation. John Wesley's concept of a bearing fruit is deeply rooted in the belief that true Christian faith is never static. Bearing fruit must result in a transformed life that produces practical, outward evidence of inward grace. For Wesley, fruitfulness is closely tied to his doctrine of sanctification, where the Holy Spirit works within believers to make them holy and more like Christ every day, constantly, and throughout their lifetime. And his concept of outward evidence of inward grace implies to our ongoing effort and tireless endeavors of outreach, evangelism, invitation, and welcome as an inclusive and inviting community of love and faith. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us keep this number two and final point of my sermon, invited to labor for God's harvest, in mind. Let us read together. A fruitful church turns its focus outward to the people it is called to serve, rather than inward on satisfying its existing members. Yes, we all are invited to labor for God's harvest together, and my sermon series is to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.